We thank God for the service. Amen. We thank God for the ordinations of the mothers.
Amen.
And we thank God for the Lord's Supper. The Lord himself said, as often, hey, why I use this. The Lord said, as often as ye do this, you do it in remembrance of me. How many can say, I've felt his presence? How many can say, I feel his presence?
Amen.
Amen. Something has touched me. Truly, we thank God this afternoon. We're going to ask you for our scripture. Stand for our scripture reading, which will be coming from John chapter 5. It's such an honor to know who he is. I said it's an honor to know who he is. I heard somebody say, everybody ought to know who Jesus is. You don't have to know me. You don't have to know our church name. You don't have to know any other members in this church name. But everybody ought to know who Jesus is. Amen. He's a comforter in a time of trouble. He's a covert from a tempest and storm. God is our everything.
Yes.
We're going to read John verses chapter 5, verses 1 through 8. John chapter 5, verse 1 through 8. If you don't have your Bible, it will be on the screen. Once you have it, you can say amen.
Amen.
Let us start. After this, there was a feast of the Jews. And Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem, by the sheep market, a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. And these lay a great multitude of important people, folks are, a blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season unto the pool and troubled the water.
Whosoever had been hurt that is troubling the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had.
And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, and knew that it had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, wilt thou be made whole? The important man answered him, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I'm coming, another stepped down before me. Jesus said unto him, rise, take up thy bed. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Lord, we thank you for everything that's transpired this evening, afternoon. Lord, most of all, we thank you for your goodness and mercy. Lord, we thank you that in spite of all of our frailties and shortcomings, Lord, you still be good to us. Lord, we thank you that though we have not been faithful to thee, Lord, you've still been faithful to us. And Lord, in your faithfulness, our word declares that you would never put more on us than we're able to bear. But with every temptation, our word declares that you'll make a way to escape that we may be able to bear. Now this afternoon, Lord, speak. Oh God, search us, oh God, and know our hearts. Try us, Lord, and know our thoughts. Lord, see if there be any wicked way in us. Then, Lord, we give you permission to just take our hand and take our heart. Lord, take our minds and lead us in the way everlasting. Oh, God, this afternoon we say thank you. Lord, from the depths of our heart and soul, we say thank you. Lord, if we had a thousand tongues, we couldn't thank you enough for your goodness. Lord, we couldn't thank you enough for your mercy. To see about us. Now, Lord, we ask you this afternoon, send thy word of anointing. Send thy word of inspiration. Lord, speak. for thy servant here. Never can we all say in Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
Amen. And you may be seated. Amen. I like the song that says something down inside of me telling me to go ahead. Amen. When I thought I couldn't make it, something was down inside of me telling me to go ahead. It's probably a question we can all have, an amen or something. How many are experiencing some things that nobody knows about? You can just say amen to your heart. How many of us this afternoon are experiencing some things that nobody knows about? How many of us have cried our last tears and nobody knows about it but God? Well, our message this afternoon is that he knows already whatever your situation is, whatever you're confronting, God knows it already. Amen. With that in mind, we're going to come back to this. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6. We're going to read a couple of verses of scripture. Whatever it is, whatever the test, whatever the trial, God knows. You know, there are times when we go to things and we tell somebody, you just don't know. Well, God knows. God knows everything there is about you. And I like what the psalmist said. He said, God has searched me. I don't know about you, but I'm glad he searches me. God has searched me, and most of all, he has known me. He knows. There's no surprises. There's no secrets. There is nothing in any of our lives that's hidden from God. He knows. Amen. He said, he searched me, he's known me, and most of all, the scripture says God is familiar or acquainted with all of your ways, whatever you experience. Whatever the heart is, whatever the tears behind the smile, God knows. Amen. And this goes on to say, now God is so familiar with us, he knows your down sins. He knows your uprisings. And the God that we serve, he knows your thoughts even afar off. Before you think it, he knows your words that are in your lips. Tomorrow you have going to do some things. God knows it already. If I'm going to trust in something or someone, I think I got to trust in somebody that knows it before it happens to me. I got to trust in somebody that can make a way where there is no way. All right, God, I said, he knows it already. God knew this morning when you got up and you were smiling, but down in your soul you were crying. God saw you all week long when you were trying to put forth your best foot, but back in the reserve of your mind you were troubled. Hallelujah. And all of a sudden somebody came by and said something that inspired your soul. How did they know? Because God knew it. There's nothing that can happen in any of our lives. I said there is nothing that can happen in any of our lives that catches God unaware. Because he said, I'm a God that I sit high, but I look low. He said that we are his sons and daughters, just like we that are parents. Amen. You know, you try to let your kids go a little bit, but while they're outside running around, you're peeking through the windows. Because you want to make sure they are what? All right. Well, God says, I've let you go, but I'm still watching over you. Why? Because we have a God, the Bible says, that neither slumbers nor sleeps. I get tired sometimes. Like, when it gets dark, my eyes like to kind of close a little bit. Because guess what? I get tired, so I have to slumber and I have to sleep.
will the God that we serve. That's why I'm telling you, don't trust in me, don't rely on me, because I'm like you are. I'm nothing more than flesh, but God. I said, but God. Hallelujah. The husband can't do it. The wife can't do it. The boss, the children, the best friend cannot do it. Hallelujah. But our God that we serve, I said, God that we serve. Hallelujah. He can take everything that's wrong with you and he can make it right. Why? Because he neither slumbers nor sleeps. Now, I'm going to, some of you were in the midnight hour last night and at 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning, you were troubled. Your spouse, your best friend, was asleep. But our God, neither slumbers nor sleeps. You know, when we close our eyes for half a second, you ever miss something because you close your eyes? You say, man, I miss that. He doesn't miss a thing. Why? Because he's God and he knows it all. God even says that knowing the end, you're trying to figure out, well, what would people want God to mom? He knows the end from the beginning. If I need help, I can't go to someone that knows less than me. But God knows the end from the beginning. And the scripture says, no, not to God. From the beginning. And I would trust that all of us have a reasonable mentality, or we can do some reasoning. When I was in school, we took logic and reasoning. If A and B, then that means C. Well, if God is all of that and everything else, I refuse. Listen to me, I refuse to allow any relationship on this earth to separate me from my God. I repeat it. I refuse to allow any relationship to separate me from my God. You know, I was in the hospital about a couple months ago. The devil was messing around with me a little bit. But you know what? At 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, none of you could be there with me. Some people say to 3, but they were asleep. I'm not talking about okay time, I'm sorry. Now, she did stay with me, but she wasn't my God. She had to slumber, and she had to, you were good, you did a good job. Can't you ask yourself the question, when I get to my wit's end, when I don't have any help, when the bottom is falling out, the finances are tapped, my mind is wavering, why do we need our only source of true help?
Yes.
And that's God. You know, I talk to people often, I say, well, do you go to church? And well, I don't have time. God told the children of Israel when he delivered them out of the wilderness. He said, now I'm going this way, but can y'all ride with me a little bit? Can we go with me? You know why? Because God is speaking to somebody. They came in here this morning and didn't know that God said he already knows, brother and sister, what you're going through. When the children of Israel came out of Egypt, God said, now, when you struggled, when things were difficult, you needed me. He said, when you didn't know where your next meal was coming from, you needed me. When you had no where to lay your head, you needed me. He said, when you were out in the wilderness He said, now my counsel to you is beware lest ye forget. Don't forget God. Beware lest ye forget the Lord that brought you out of that great and terrible wilderness. That gave you houses that you did not build. He gave you vineyards that you did not plant and wells that you did not dig. He said, beware lest you forget the Lord. My question this afternoon, how many of us have forgotten God? So busy in our successes, we can't even remember that it was God that brought me through. And he concluded with Israel. He said, now you remember this. It was me. God said they gave you power to get wealth and health. If God was to withdraw himself from us, Lord, whither shall we go? If God stepped back and just allowed your life to run amok, whither shall you go? Matthew 6, verse 27. It is the Lord. When you leave church today, as Pastor Harper said, if you leave the utopia of the spirit, will you forget God? In our relationships, one with another, in our interactions, will we treat one another realizing that God is watching us? When I was a kid, we were always afraid of my father, so we did the right thing when he was watching. But we were a kid just like anybody else. When he wasn't watching, we tried to bend the rules. God never sleeps. God sees you in church. God sees you on the way to church. God sees you in your interaction with one another. God sees you when you leave church. God sees you when you enter the doors of your home. When the doors are shut and it's just you and your family, God says, I'm still watching you. I'm still seeing, do you honor me by keeping my word? 6 verse 27. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to your stature? All of your planning, all of your conniving and thinking can't change a thing. God said, why are you worrying about something that you cannot change? Your thoughts cannot add one cubit to your stature. Now, God can do the impossible, but you can't. So he said, why are you trying to do something that only I can do? Amen. Verse 28 says, and why take ye thought for a raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon, in all of his glory, was not arrayed like one of them. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, I like the another translation, I think in verse 25, said, if he feeds and takes care of the sparrow, don't we have the assurance that he's watching over us? And he said, aren't you much more valuable than sparrows? He says, wherefore, God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you? But he challenges us concerning our faith. He said, oh, ye of, because the devil or anybody else make a threat, it does not change with God. Amen. Because faith is the substance of things that is hoped for. Lord, I don't see it. I don't know where it's coming from, but I'm hoping anyway. Faith is the substance of things so far, and it's the evidence of things not seen. Trust in God. O ye a little for faith, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? God says, you do what you have to do, and let me do what I have to do. For the psalmist said, I was young, and there I am old. Thank God I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. And shall not our God do good unto all? But surely God is good to Israel, and to such that be of a clean heart. You need God's help? Clean it up. Wash it up. For he that has clean hands, the Bible says, shall grow stronger and stronger. When your relationship, your dependency on God is on God, you won't grow weaker. You will grow stronger and stronger. It says in verse 32, it says, for after all of these things, though the Gentiles see, but guess what? You worried about all of this, trying to figure out what's going to happen next year and 10 years from there and tomorrow. God said, well, guess what? Your heavenly Father, not your earthly father, your heavenly Father knows what things you have, even God knows already. He knows. So you got to get yourself out of that depression and oppression and all the doldrums of sadness. And it's time for me to lift my voice unto the Lord. I'm going to praise the Lord at all times. I say his praise shall continually be in my lips. Let's go back to John chapter 9. He knows it already. I'm sorry, chapter 5 of John. Actually, I have John 5, 9, and 11. But we're only going to do with John 5. I say, we're going to be all night, all day long. As long as we get a blessing, what difference does it make? But I won't be here all day, because I get discouraged if people start walking out with me. I have to start preaching with my eyes closed. I don't see God. Just take off your shoes, so I don't hear you stepping out. No. God is real, but 5, John 9, and John 11 deal with some impossible situations. But God knew already. Amen. I'm just not going to read all this. I'm going to skip down to verse 6. Now remember, this man had been in this condition for how many years? 38 years. We often feel as though I've been doing it for a year. It's impossible. I've been going through it for 2 or 3 years. It's impossible. This man was in this condition for 38 years. Actually, he had been in this condition for 38 years. Let me see if it's going to be before or afterwards. Well, that's a different chapter. But if we read this story, I believe, no, it's actually it's in this one, because I read it. But nevertheless, let's go ahead. It says, verse 5, and a certain man was there, which had an infirmity for 38 years. If you haven't been going through it that long, God can make a way out of a way. Whatever it is, he knows already. When Jesus saw him lie and he knew that nobody told Jesus that he'd been like that for 38 years, so I didn't know. Because there's nothing that happens in any of our lives that God doesn't know. The devil likes to play mind games, make us want to quit and give up on God and give up on hope. But the Bible says when we trust and hope in God, hope never maketh ashamed. Don't lose your hope. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he'd been that way for 38 years, whatever your heavenly experiencing, he knows it. Had been there a long time in that case, he said and thought to him, "Wilt thou be made whole?" The important man answered and said, "Lord, I can't depend on a man. Sir, I have no man. For 38 years I've been coming to the same pool trying to get some help. But guess what? Man could not do it." Sir is another word for Lord or Jehovah God. I would imagine as the man spoke to Jesus, if he's going to call him sir, meaning Lord, there had to be something different about this man. When you get Jesus involved in any of your circumstances, there is a guarantee that something will be different. He said, "Sir, I have no man." I can tell you my testimony is today, sir, I have no man. I've had many dangers, toils, and snares, but I have no man. Amen. He said, "Sir, I have no man, but when the waters of trouble, they can come help me out." Now, Jesus didn't even tell the man who he was. But there was something about the Lord talking to him that he understood there's power in this man. There's something that he's saying that's moving down in my soul. Amen. I can't depend on an individual for something that only my God can do. He knows it already. He knows it already. And there is no man that can do it. There's not a counselor that can do it. The husband couldn't do it. The wife can't do it. There are some situations in our lives. Mom and dad can't fix it. Somewhere I said, there's what? Trouble in my way. So much so. I lay awake all night. But he had the conclusion, but that's all right because I know that Jesus will fix it after a while. How many have that assurance? I said, how many have that assurance? Lord, right now I'm looking through a glass dimly. I can't see anything, but I know that after a while, not Minister Paulette Kemp is going to fix it. Not the elders, the minister, deacon, the mother, but Jesus will fix it. I said, Jesus will fix it after a while. The Lord told him, he said, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." Now, he didn't have time to reason with the Lord, but I've been like this for 38 years. You know what? He had announced hope. This afternoon, if you have an ounce of hope, lean on that hope. Trust in that hope. Believe in that hope. The man had an ounce of hope that Jesus was going to make everything all right. Whatever the case, whatever you're experiencing, God knows it already. You're worrying yourself now. I think my baldness is hereditary, so I'm bald from worry, okay? So when I do this, don't make that equation. We worry ourselves till our hair falls out. Is it my kid? Everybody's there. Yeah, it's my kid. That's our word when I was a kid. It's been coming out a long time. But we worry ourselves to death. High blood pressure, heart conditions. Can't even have a peaceful night of rest because we're trying to do something that only God can do. Let Jesus fix it for you because he knows just what to do. Whenever you because he knows how to fix it for you. We used to sing a song years and years ago. We haven't sang it in a long time. Reach out and touch the Lord. I said, reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. Why? Because our God is not too busy to hear your humble cry. God knows it. God understands it. Most of all, he can fix it. Let us stand. As the ministers come forward, whatever is happening in our lives, God knows it. The greatest travesty that any of us could do is to leave church today and not have the assurance that it's well with my soul. To leave church and have a doubt or question in your mind. If I were to expire today, tomorrow, or next week, do I have a 100% guarantee that I'm going to heaven? Time is a little while. We only here for a little while. Eternity is forever. Don't make an unwise decision to be happy for a little while, but make the eternal decision to be happy forever. Only you can make that decision. There's nothing that's happening that's going to happen at the end of our lives that God doesn't know. Let him fix it for you. Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that